So today on this special auspicious appearance of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, we'll read a verse from Sri Gadadhar Pandit Ki Jai. We'll read a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 10:15. Hopefully it's on the board. Translation: Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one therefore can equal him. Purport by His Divine Grace. In the Gaur Ganodesh Dipika, it is stated, the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shyama Sundar Vallabha. The same Shyama Sundar Vallabha was present in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly as Lalita Sakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. In the 12th chapter of this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the descendants or disciplic succession of Gadadhar Pandit. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So that's a little history of Gadadhar Pandit. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. And as I'm sure everyone knows, Gadadhar Pandit is a very, very important personality for us. We recite his name every day, multiple times. Yeah, please. One goes up, the other goes down. You might need to lift the whole thing up. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Maybe if you turn it up a bit, then. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki. So we recite Gadadhar Pandit's name every single day, multiple times. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And so, today's the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. And what is the moon doing today? You might think it's an odd question, but the moon today is hiding. It is a new moon today. So this is interesting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears on the full moon, Gaur Purnim, when the moon is a Purnima, full moon. But Gadadhar Pandit appears in the new moon. So he's, and that is fitting because his character is very confidential. Lord Chaitanya is the extroverted, out there, far out preaching personality, giving his full radiance, glory and aura to anyone who meets him. But Gadadhar Pandit is always in the background, thinking how to quietly render service to Lord Chaitanya. So it's interesting that he chooses this day to appear on the new moon day. Now, Gadadhar Pandit, his family was very friendly. Their fathers were both Mishras. And so the families would spend time together, Lord Chaitanya's parents and family and Gadadhar Prabhu's family when they were younger. And they were inseparable as friends. They would play around with each other. Gadadhar would never want to be separate from Lord Chaitanya. He would always be after him, trying to render service to him, even as a young boy. And he would have many discussions with him. But in terms of character, the two personalities were quite different. Lord Chaitanya was quite active, you can say. Quite hyperactive, perhaps. And in terms of his logic, his discussion, he would irritate a lot of people. Very lively person. He would challenge people on the basis of logic, grammar, naya. And then he would defeat them. And when they accepted defeat, he would criticize them again because he said the argument he had made was actually wrong. And then he would give a counter-argument to his own argument. And it would go on in that way. And especially as he got a little older, this argumentative side of Lord Chaitanya developed. Now, while they were younger, Gadadhar Pandit, Lord Chaitanya would have many just simple interactions. Many interactions as small boys would, just playing. But with this special mellow that Gadadhar was always there trying to serve Lord Chaitanya. But then as they became older, Gadadhar, as I mentioned, Lord Chaitanya was very active. Gadadhar was completely the opposite. He was very quiet, very reserved, very respectful, very careful. He would always show the Vaishnavas great respect. Lord Chaitanya would argue with them all. Now, Gadadhar Pandit, he would show great respect and he would read and study. And he was almost, you can say, from the beginning, very much attracted to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya didn't directly display that too much when he was younger. The logic and the study and that side of it was quite prominent. But even at a certain point, it became a bit too much for Gadadhar Pandit. Although he was inseparable from the Lord, when Mahaprabhu started to become a little too argumentative, even Gadadhar started to avoid him. Many people would avoid him because they knew that their day would be spoiled if Lord Chaitanya came and asked them a question. Because he would ask them a question, they would answer it, and then he would be very upset. And he would give a counter-argument. He would ask Gadadhar to explain some philosophical point about the spirit soul. And Gadadhar Pandit would give a nice answer. You know, full Shastric purport and wonderful explanation. And Mahaprabhu would completely dismiss it. He would say, no, this is wrong. One can only understand the spirit soul through the embodied body. When one is embodied. So he would give contrary things. So even Gadadhar Pandit, at a certain point, started to keep a little distance because it was disturbing him. Well, this was a special feature of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, and even in his youthful pastimes, he doesn't have to follow any protocols. He doesn't have to follow the typical protocol that God is nice, he's munificent, he's a nice man with a beard, he's very sober, calm. No, he doesn't have to do that. Just like Krishna was very, very naughty when he was younger, Lord Chaitanya also displayed these aspects. And so Gadadhar Pandit remains as a nice contrast to Nimai. However, at a certain point, as we know, Lord Chaitanya experienced a transformation. And Lord Chaitanya went somewhere. Where did he go? Do you know the place? Gaya. He went to Gaya. And there he had some association, some darshan of a spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. And there that relationship developed. And it is after that point, really, that Mahaprabhu completely transformed. And he started to, at least externally, display overt symptoms of a devotee of Krishna. And those symptoms were quite extraordinary. So Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, and then Srivas Pandit informed Gadadhar Pandit that Mahaprabhu was going to come to the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari and make an announcement. So Gadadhar wasn't directly invited, but he went along anyway. And he went and hid inside the house. And then Mahaprabhu came and the other devotees were there. And Mahaprabhu was just talking about Krishna. And they were all amazed. He was the argumentative, somewhat irritating person who would always give us scholarly trouble. And now he's rolling around, falling on the floor, crying tears of separation of Krishna. everything we've been trying to get him to do for the last however many years. He's now somehow manifesting it fully. And Gadadhar Prabhu was there, just inside. He was so happy to hear of this. He was just listening from the room, one of the rooms inside. And he was ecstatic just to hear the transformation of Lord Chaitanya. He was thinking, now my wish is fulfilled. Nimai has become a great scholar, a great devotional personality, befitting what he should be. That scholarship is now being put to use. And so then Mahaprabhu could hear someone. So he went inside the room, he went inside the house, and he found Gadadhar Pandit. And he was very happy to see him. He didn't chastise him, he embraced him. And that embrace, all the devotees were looking at the two embracing, and they were in ecstasy. They were crying tears, they were embracing each other. They were extremely happy. Very, very satisfied. Gadadhar Pandit was so pleased that Lord Chaitanya had finally accepted this. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, Gadadhar, you are very fortunate because you have been a devotee of Krishna right from the beginning. You've always been worshipping Krishna. You've always been serving him. But I'm very unfortunate that all these years I simply wasted my time and missed him, ignored him. But now I've learned the right thing to do. So he says, thank you, you are so much more than me. This is Lord Chaitanya glorifying Gadadhar Pandit. And so really that is the start of that special relationship. That is the start of that transformed relationship where Lord Chaitanya now actually acts fully as the devotee of Krishna. And Gadadhar Pandit acts also directly in that capacity. As we heard in this verse, Gadadhar Pandit is described as the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, Radharani. Sometimes he's described as the effulgence of Radharani. In either way, he's the pleasure potency, the energy that sustains devotees, energy that sustains the devotional enjoyment, possibility for Krishna. As we know that Krishna has separated himself eternally into these two forms. One is the superior, one is the subordinate. One is the served, one is the servant. And he has done this for the sake of pleasure. He's the supreme enjoyer and Srimati Radharani is the supreme enjoyed. And so in this way, with this differentiation, a great interaction takes place. So this is interesting how Srimati Radharani enters into that leela of Lord Chaitanya. Because in one sense, Lord Chaitanya is also acting like Srimati Radharani. Because he has adopted her mood. He's adopted her mood, her complexion. But he's still Krishna himself. And so that's a somewhat confusing thing. His personality is Krishna, but his mood is Srimati Radharani. And then Gadadhar Pandit has come and he's acting as the direct demonstration of Srimati Radharani. Although, of course, all his interactions were very confidential. He would never overtly engage in any Ras Leela or anything like that with Lord Chaitanya. He was very formal and always behaved as a Prabhu and interacted formally. Although there were some very nice pastimes. Once in a grove, Lord Chaitanya was sitting on a tree and Gadadhar came there. All the Panchatattva were there, all the personalities. And Gadadhar went around the forest, he picked up different flowers, made a garland, put them on Lord Chaitanya's, round his beautiful neck. Then Advaita Acharya was there offering arti. Nityananda was on the left, Srivas Thakur was there. And in this way, there was a whole Panchatattva arti darshan going on. Very confidential, very beautiful. And Gadadhar was sitting next to the Lord. And so you did have some of these pastimes. There were some of these pastimes. But formally, externally, their relationship was very much hidden, very much secretive. Now, tattva-wise, it's good to understand the tattva of each of these personalities. Pancha-tattvat, this is actually a definition of the pancha-tattva. I'm sure everyone knows it. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Akhyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. So if we go through these, we actually understand each of the personalities. So who can tell me the personalities? Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa. So Bhakta Rupa, the form of the Bhakta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup. Lord Nityananda. I'm going to just check my notes so I get it right. Bhakta Avataram. Advaita Acharya. Bhakta Avataram. Bhakta Avataram. Bhakta Akhyam. Bhakta Akhyam. Bhakta is the most important thing, the devotee. Akhya means like the very exalted. Shrivas. So Shrivas is the devotee. Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. And Bhakti Shakti is the energy of the Lord. Gadadhar Pandit. So with this you understand the actual sort of tattva of each personality. You've got the Supreme Lord who comes in the form of the devotee of the Lord. You have his own expansion, Lord Nityananda. You have the incarnation of a devotee, Advaita Acharya. And that is, he is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, right? He's Mahavishnu, Advaita Acharya. And then you have Shrivas, who is the actual devotee. Because after all, the Lord is always present with his energies and his devotees and confidential companions, everyone. And then you have Sri Gadadhar Pandit, who is the confidential, internal, pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. The devotional potency that sustains the devotion of devotees. So as Prabhupada advised us, we should take shelter of Srimati Radharani, request her mercy and her blessings and permission in order to be able to serve Krishna. So in the same way, Gadadhar Pandit is a very important personality. He was also very strict, Gadadhar Pandit. He was naturally very, very renounced. But it said that he wouldn't speak to any person who didn't accept Lord Nityananda. If anyone didn't show respect to Nityananda, he would just ignore them. He didn't want anything to do with them. So he wanted that the Lord and his energies, his expansions, all the features that the Lord has manifested, they should be treated correctly. Otherwise, Gadadhar wasn't interested. And as we know, Gadadhar Pandit was an expert scholar. He's called Pandit for a reason. He was also an expert scholar. And Srimad Bhagavatam was his special attraction. He would speak from the Bhagavatam. In Puri, Lord Chaitanya would go to him to hear from him every single day. Every single day. And there is a nice incident, maybe I'll tell later, with Srinivas and Gadadhar Pandit concerning the Bhagavatam later when Srinivas starts his travels. But there is one nice pastime, because after Lord Chaitanya, this is still in the Navadvipa area, before Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas and goes to Puri and everything, and Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies were becoming quite developed. And you could say he was becoming a little bit uncontrollable, because his ecstatic transformations, his behavior, his speech was becoming quite severe, quite inconceivable. And so on one occasion, he was in great separation of Krishna and he wasn't listening to anyone, not responding, not doing anything normal. And he was saying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And Gadadhar Pandit said, "Don't worry." Gadadhar Pandit always knew how to soothe the Lord. And he came to the Lord and he said, "Don't worry, Krishna is in your heart." Well, that didn't make Lord Chaitanya more peaceful. Because what he started to do, he started to rip open his chest. He started to open his chest to try to find the Lord. Where is the Lord? Then Gadadhar Prabhu had to restrain him again. And he went to him and he said, "Don't worry, Krishna is coming. Krishna is coming. He's coming very soon." That pacified the Lord for a moment. And Madhusachi saw this. And she was thinking, okay, Here is someone finally who can actually control the Lord when he gets into this state. And so she requested Gadadhar Prabhu, please always spend time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please always stay with him. Please look after him. So obviously with her motherly affection, what more could she do? Because when Lord Chaitanya went into these moods, she was afraid also to do anything. She couldn't. So she wanted someone to still take care of the Lord. And so she told Gadadhar, please always take care of this boy Nimai, who's now is Lord Chaitanya. He's something tremendous. When I was thinking, this pastime of him attempting to rip open his chest is a bit like this pastime we hear of Hanuman. In Ram Lila, once Mother Sita gave him, as the story goes, the traditional story goes, Mother Sita gave him a valuable pearl necklace. This was after they came back to Ayodhya. And they're asking Hanuman, what can we do for you? You've done so much. Is there anything we can do for you? And Hanuman is saying, nothing you can do for me. I don't want anything. Just my service, the opportunity to serve was sufficient. So Mother Sita gave him a valuable necklace. And as the story goes, Hanuman started pulling the pearls off the necklace and started biting them to open them. And then they started wondering, what's going on? You just received a beautiful necklace from no one other than Mother Sita and you're ripping the pearls off. So Mother Sita asked her, what are you doing? And he said, well, I don't keep any object unless it has the holy name of Lord Ram inside it. So I'm opening these pearls to see if Ram is inside. And so, okay, they were astounded to hear that. But then someone in the court, someone a bit more mechanical or pedantic, you could say, said, well, what about you? Hanuman, I mean, you're still walking around in your body, but how do you know there's Lord Ram inside your body? And Hanuman says, you want to see? And he ripped open his chest. And before everyone, they could see Sita Ram situated inside his chest. So this is a very, very common depiction you'll see of Hanuman. If you go to India, in various places, you'll see this wonderful, they'll make a statue, they'll make a deity of Hanuman. I remember one particularly striking one. It's in Rishikesh, just on the banks of the on the bank of the river where they're constantly performing sacrifice. There's a massive deity of Hanuman ripping open his chest, showing the Lord. So this is the mood of the devotee, that he considers that the Lord is in his heart. And of course, there's the literal aspect which we see through these stories. But of course, the internal aspect is that the Lord is there in our consciousness. And so the devotees. So I thought this was an interesting comparison, because Lord Chaitanya as the devotee is attempting to discover the Lord who is in his heart. And Hanuman as the devotee is also revealing the Lord's presence in his heart. So it's a very important consideration, that the Lord is present in our heart. And then of course we know that as the super soul, the Lord is there. He's there. Super soul is one, we know, but just as the sun is perceived in multiple different places, he's perceived. But you know, whether you're here, whether you're in India, whether you're in America, you'll still see the sun. You think the sun's here? No, the sun's still in its own neutral, independent place. So super soul is like that. Super soul is in one place, but he's also in our heart as localized Paramatma. So, as Prabhupada says, we just have to learn the secret of tuning into that super soul. He's there. It's like a radio, you tune it, and eventually you get the right frequency. So super soul is there. Sometimes he's silent, but for the devotee, the super soul, the Lord, they're constantly speaking, constantly interacting. And the devotees know how to tune into that communication. So that's the important understanding of the Lord and his closeness to every single living entity. Now, Gadadhar Pandit, he always, as I mentioned, was very, very submissive to the Lord. But there is one occasion when he didn't really obey the Lord. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and he ended up in Puri. But he was always trying to go to Vrindavan. Remember, his mother had sent him to Puri to stay there so she could get news of him. But he was always trying to go to Vrindavan. And Gadadhar Pandit also came to Jagannath Puri and he stayed there. Actually stayed there thereafter. And he stayed in a place called Yameshwar Tota, where there was a little garden. And he would stay there and Lord Chaitanya would come to see him. Lord Chaitanya had this schedule also of accepting lunch at various persons' residences. And Gadadhar was on that list. He would come to his house, come to his place once a month and take prasadam and discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, Gadadhar Pandit also took sannyas. Tridandi sannyas is described. But he took a form, Kshetra sannyas. Lord Chaitanya told him to just stay in one place, to just stay in Puri as a Kshetra sannyasi. So the sannyasis, they travel around. This is what Lord Chaitanya did. But Gadadhar Pandit was just supposed to stay there and just carry on his deep worship and other instructions that Mahaprabhu gave him. So the time came eventually that Mahaprabhu was going to leave and he was going to go to Vrindavan. So obviously all the devotees were extremely upset. They're very upset. No one likes it when the Lord leaves. The Lord kept leaving. Lord Chaitanya's lila is characterized by him continuously leaving from one place to another, putting scores of devotees into great anxiety and tribulation each time. And Krishna did exactly the same. He traveled. Krishna kept traveling. Mathura, Vrindavan, Hastinapur, Dwarka, and all over the place. And each time he moved, there was a whole drama unfolded. Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't want to let Krishna leave when he tried to leave Hastinapur. He managed to keep him there for some time. But then even after, when he finally left to go to Dwarka, he was running around, running behind him. There was a whole fanfare. He sent Akshahini divisions to accompany the Lord. Everyone was trying to follow him. So this is a special leaving leela which seems to happen. We get a little taste of it when our spiritual master or a visiting senior sannyasi does the leaving leela. Isn't it? We see a little of that drama. It's the only way we can get a little taste of it. But you can imagine, it's a fantastic thing. When a Supreme Lord leaves, you're in great anxiety if you have love for him. And so he was leaving and Gadadhar wanted to follow him. So when Mahaprabhu found out about this, he was most unhappy. He said, Gadadhar Pandit Prabhu, you've taken a vow of Kshetra sannyas. You should not leave the Kshetra. You should not leave your area. You should not leave the dham. And Gadadhar said, to hell with my Kshetra sannyas. Wherever you are, Mahaprabhu, all the scriptures reveal that wherever you are, that itself is a holy dham. I'm going to follow you. I don't care for this vow that's taken. It's a subservient vow. And Mahaprabhu said, well, okay, you might think like that, but I am responsible if you do that. Because of me, you are now going to break your vow. So Gadadhar Pandit said, okay, you don't need to take any responsibility. I'm going to make this decision independently myself. You can go yourself to Vrindavan, and I will do my own thing. So Lord Chaitanya started off to Vrindavan. With a few devotees. I believe Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was with them. And Gadadhar went, slightly different route. And they met up in one place. And Lord Chaitanya again was not very happy. We think he'd forgiven Gadadhar Prabhu. They embraced and everything went on nicely. No, he was not happy. He said to Gadadhar Prabhu, what have you done? I told you not to come and you're still here. He said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, take him back. He should not be here. Take him back. And he did. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took him back to Puri. Now somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya's travels were impeded. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. So on this particular occasion, the Lord actually managed to not go to Vrindavan. He was distracted again by some arrangement. And finally, when he came back, he said, actually, the reason My Vrindavan trip was unsuccessful. It's because I managed to offend Gadadhar Pandit. I caused him some distress. And this is why Krishna did not allow me to go to Vrindavan. So just see how the devotee thinks and how much faith and power the devotee has in the potency of the mercy of a great devotee and also the potential for committing offense, the consequences of committing offense. Krishna considers it a great problem if he causes offense to a devotee. So that's a good lesson for us, how careful we should be before we sometimes even inadvertently cause offense. So Gadadhar Pandit has, he was always a very strict, sober, serious person, very deep, very dedicated to the Lord. And he had a great friendship with Mukunda Datta. And Mukunda Datta would take him to visit any senior persons, any advanced persons, advanced devotees who would come to the place where he was, and in Bengal. And so one day he said, "Oh, there's this great personality by the name of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. You should come and see him. You'll enjoy it, the occasion." And so Gadadhar Pandit went. He was always eager to meet great saintly persons. And he went. And he went inside the house. And it was a opulent place with a nice, comfortable bed. Then he saw Prabhuji himself, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He saw him and he was nicely dressed, expensive garments, silks. He had nicely oiled hair. He was looking good. he was very he was set up nicely. And Gadadhar Pandit, the thought crossed his mind. He said, "Okay, he's brought me here to see a Vaishnava, but what am I seeing here? I'm seeing an enjoyer. I'm seeing someone who delights in material pleasures." So Mukunda Datta knew this. He could detect that this is what's going through Gadadhar Pandit's mind. And so, without any prompting, he's just started to recite this verse, "Aho Bakiyam Stanakalakuta," from the Bhagavatam. This is a verse recited by Uddhava. I think Uddhava to Vidura. And it says, it speaks about Krishna. It speaks about the mercy of Krishna. "Aho Bakiyam Stanakalakuta," this witch, Putana, came, smeared poison on her breast and tried to kill Krishna. But Krishna is so merciful that he gave her the position of a mother in the spiritual world. How can I not follow this Lord? He said this verse, Mukunda Datta. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi changed completely. He became wild. He started wandering around. He started tearing his clothes off. His hair became all disheveled. He started breaking the furniture around him, rolling around in ecstasy. Completely genuine transformation upon being reminded about the mercy of Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit, when he saw this, he realized that in his mind he has just committed a great mistake, a great offense, because he has looked at the externals of this devotee. He has looked at this great devotee who cannot be really distinguished from outside. You couldn't tell. But now that he's been prompted with the right devotional, words, he's displaying something that's of a different level. And he realized, "I've committed a great, great offense. I'm actually truly in the association of a great Mahatma here." And he consulted and he thought, "What should I do?" He was thinking, How can I overcome this offense? Of course, he's not actually committed any offense directly, as we would say, right? He's not. This is all in the mind. But previously, offenses could be made in the mind, and they were valid. But in Kali Yuga, there's a special benediction that offenses don't take effect unless they're performed, actually performed. That is a special concession for the disqualified age of Kali. Or should I say, for the disqualified persons in the age of Kali. Now, of course, all of this took place within the age of Kali. But when we are dealing with Gadadhar Pandit, the way they think is not as a resident of Kali, as a modern resident of Kali. They don't consider that exemption. They consider that this offense has taken place in my mind. That itself is sufficient. That's bad enough. How do I overcome this? And so he thought, okay, the correct way to do this may be to actually take initiation from him. I should actually surrender to him. The remedy for offense is to actually surrender. And the epitome of surrender, you could say, is initiation. To actually accept that person as a Lord and Master for the rest of your life on behalf of Krishna. And so he wanted to do this, he discussed, and he also asked Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that is good, you should do this. And so he became one of the disciples of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And so he became his guru. Now there's another incident, he got his initiations, mantra also from him. And then there's another episode once where he re-requests initiation. Because he had given his mantra. He explains to Lord Chaitanya that my mantra, I disclosed it to someone who was not qualified. And as a result, its potency has decreased. So I would like to take re-initiation and re-receive this mantra from my guru. He actually asked Lord Chaitanya to give him the mantra. But Ganadhar said, no, you should just approach Pundarik Vidyanidhi when he comes again. You ask him. And this happened. So this is an interesting little detail in the whole initiation aspect with Gadadhar and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Now in the Gaur Ganadesh Dipika, it's described that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is actually Vrishabhanu Maharaj. Now Vrishabhanu in the original Krishna Leela is Srimati Radharani's father. Well, this Vrishabhanu is the person who finds Srimati Radharani, because of course her appearance itself is quite mysterious. She's floating in a casket on the river, and in the midst of beautiful lotuses, he sees. And having no daughter himself, he takes her home and raises her. How fortunate to have Srimati Radharani come to you in your home. And so this is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So it's interesting how in this Leela, through initiation of Gadadhar Pandit, he becomes once again her father. So the whole Leela is very elaborately constructed. Krishna arranges for certain persons to play the role again and again and again in his Leelas. He discloses to Mother Sachi once how actually you have just after he's declared that he's taking sannyas, and she's greatly upset, he declares to her that actually, you have been my mother not just now, but in the past as well. You've been my mother many times. And he gives all the different examples in his different forms as Krishna. So he says, don't worry, this is our eternal Leela. And she offers him blessings, and she says, yes, you are the Supreme Lord. You will always do whatever you want. You are supremely independent. So all of these personalities who manifest in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, they are very, very special persons. They're not individuals who just turn up on the scene. And in fact, even Krishna's associates, they're all special persons. Some of them are his direct associates who accompany him repeatedly throughout his journeys when he comes to the material world. And then others are specially selected by him, just as he instructed the demigods. He said, go down to this planet Earth where I will shortly be appearing. Make arrangements for me. He sends them down. So the Lord's persons, his confidential companions, Krishna Varanam Tvasha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagne Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hisumedasa. When the Lord appears, he comes with his confidential weapons, companions, associates. And so when we read about or discuss about these personalities, it's good to see them from that perspective. They are very transcendental. There's always this very interesting Leela going on two levels. What happens externally and what happens internally? Internally, there we have this whole understanding of Lord Chaitanya's Leela's eternal associates. But in terms of the actual pastime as it takes place, it can seem like a normal story. Or maybe an extra-normal, extraordinary story. Very inconceivable that the Lord acts to defeat Krishna philosophy when he's younger. But he does it. It's part of the Leela. So Krishna's Leelas are constructed in a special way, so that if we don't understand the purport of the Leela, from the right source, we can get it completely wrong. We can look at Krishna enjoying Rasleela with the gopis, with Srimati Radharani, and we can form a completely wrong understanding to the actual understanding of Krishna engaging in his eternal transcendental pastime with the cowherd damsels of Raja, who are his pleasure expansions. We can look at Nimai, the argumentative scholar, and we can think, just a normal kid, just a normal child, maybe a very clever child. But if you actually know who he is, you can see that this is building up. His scholarship has a purpose. He defeats the Digvijay Pandit. That same scholarship, when it becomes transformed into and becomes surcharged with devotional potency from Sri Ishwarapuri, just becomes a different category. That scholarship is picked up, it's not so much directly manifested by Lord Chaitanya after he takes sannyas and enters more of his ecstatic moods. Rather, he sort of deputizes that to the Goswamis, to Jiva Goswami, to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They take over all the scholarly presentation aspects of bhakti. He enters his internal moods in Puri. And Gadadhar Pandit is also there in Puri. But how can we talk about Gadadhar Pandit and not mention his deity and his worship in Puri? Because Tota Gopinath is a place where Gadadhar Pandit worshipped. Once Gadadhar was with Mahaprabhu and he... Oh, that's a different deity. He told him to uncover this deity of Gopinath. And he dug and dug and found this deity of Gopinath. That was a special pastime between Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. And then it was worshipped. And the deity of Tota Gopinath, when Mahaprabhu was Gadadhar's life and soul. And Gadadhar would be in this temple and he would worship this deity, Tota Gopinath. Now Mahaprabhu chose to end his earthly leela by entering into this deity. That's how Mahaprabhu leaves this world. Devotees don't really like to talk about how the Lord leaves the world, but still that's how he leaves the world. When Gadadhar Pandit, after that point, continues to worship the deity. But something happens to him because in separation from the Lord, he starts to age considerably. He becomes older and older because he just can't handle it. That separation is just shriveling up his body. And at a certain point, he becomes so old and so unable to do anything that he can't put the garland around Tota Gopinath's, around his neck. And so he's very, very upset with this. So this is a very unique occurrence where the deity agrees to come into a smaller sitting form just to facilitate the worship of his devotee, Gadadhar Pandit. So there's very, very special potency there. This deity is very powerful. How many of you have been to Puri and seen this deity? Yes? Well, hopefully once these travel restrictions are lifted, hopefully that may be another chance. But it is so much potency you can imagine. They don't always keep the deity visible for too long, actually. It's quick darshan and closed. But that darshan is of potency. Now, Gadadhar Pandit, he had a number of disciples. He was given some instructions by Lord Chaitanya. He was told to study and preach the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was told to worship the deity also. And he was told to give shelter and initiate other disciples on behalf of Mahaprabhu. So he had a number of disciples. And it's interesting, he guided them. Well, when he was younger, Srinivas Acharya also wanted to hear from Gadadhar because he had heard that Gadadhar is a great scholar in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he had come to him, and at that point it wasn't really suitable for him to instruct him. He said at some point later this will happen. Well, later on, Srinivas started with the traveling preaching, the Sankirtan. He started to, he was looking for a copy of the Bhagavatam. And he was unable to get one, but an arrangement was made that he could get it from Narahari Sarkar, I believe. And then the idea was, and Lord Chaitanya had instructed Srinivas, or he had informed him, that he should go and learn Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. But when the time came to Gadadhar Pandit had passed away. He had left. But just prior to that, on one of the earlier occasions when he had almost had a chance to study the Bhagavatam, Gadadhar Pandit had said, look, here is my Bhagavatam. But the problem is, I can't really teach you from it, because when I read the Bhagavatam, I cry tears of ecstasy. And all the writing has gone. It's become inelligible. And what to do? So he was very upset at that point. But he touched this book to his head and then wondered, how will I actually find a copy of the Bhagavatam? So here is someone who desperately wanted to be instructed by Gadadhar but didn't quite manage it. But eventually the other devotees and Janava Mata and others, he ended up going back to Vrindavan to study under the Goswamis. So Gadadhar Pandit had he had a few initiated disciples. And so just as a final point, there's one other place. If you go to Vrindavan near Keshighat, there's a Vamsigopal temple. And one of his disciples, Nayananda, that was the name of Gadadhar Pandit's disciple, he took a tooth of Gadadhar and he established a samadhi there. So that samadhi is called a Danta Samadhi. So devotees go there and take special blessings. Often, you know, we have different types of samadhis. Sometimes you have the actual full samadhi, then you have Pushpa Samadhi. But then, in the past, it was often the case that a traveling mendicant, a great advanced person, would just perish while traveling, sometimes due to some external cause or something. And so then, individuals would establish samadhis based upon some part, whatever they can get, sometimes a hair, sometimes a tooth or something. So this Danta Samadhi is there in Vrindavan. And this is another place where we can go and take some mercy of Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit is a very confidential person. He appears on this new moon and is the eternal companion of Lord Chaitanya. For us, we need that Shakti. We need the devotional energy that sustains bhakti. And so if we pray to him, he may give us a little bit of that. And thereby please Lord Chaitanya, please Krishna. So I'll stop there. Sri Gadadhar Pandit ki jai. Any questions, any comments? Kafinath Prabhu.
Thank you for the wonderful class. I was just wondering, in our branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the two most prominent personalities of the Panchatattva we worship generally are Gaur Nitai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. But in many other branches, they worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar. So could you elaborate on this?
Yes. Well, that original meeting, you know, that I described in that house of Shuklambar Brahmachari, that was the original manifestation of Gaur Gadadhar. You know, where both of them are there and everyone understands what's that special relationship. Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's deities were also Gaur Gadadhar. And actually, yes, so prior to that, prior to Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya being worshipped together, Gaur Gadadhar was actually the standard. You've got the Supreme Lord and you've got his Shakti. Now, in terms of the preaching movement, in this Leela, the Lord Chaitanya appears not really to directly accept worship in the same way that Radha and Krishna are worshipped. That component is there, and you'll find it through in multiple places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the Lord comes specifically to propagate the Sankirtan mission. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu is the sort of Sankirtan soldier in this movement. So that is why Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are really the focus for us. But there is nothing wrong with that tradition that you have the Supreme Lord and then you have his Shakti as well. That's normal. But it's just a focus of presentation, you can say. In Mayapur, there's a Gadadhar Bhavan, which is just next to Advaita Bhavan. If you go a little past the Chaitanya Mat, where Lord Chaitanya appeared, that's there, that little place where he grew up. So actually, if you get a chance to visit these places, you'll see some Gaur Gadadhar deities. Anyone want to add anything to that? Any other questions?